This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
What's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, the host of To The Point Home Services Podcast, Chris Yano, along with my co-host, Mr. Tall Paul Rebin. My friend, how you doing?
Chris, I'm good, man. Loving the energy today. You have a little edge to you. I don't know what it is. Cinco de Mayo.
It is Cinco de Mayo, Cinco de Drinco, which, by the way, they do not celebrate in Mexico.
Which we learned. Yeah, Bianca on our team shared with us the real history behind this particular day. And I'll tell you what, man, I was enlightened. I didn't know all those things.
So this time last year, we actually did our first live episode with Ken Goodrich, and it was the Ask Ken Anything episode. And we had margaritas that morning.
We did.
Yeah, it was 10 a.m. that morning.
It was our last live one. One thing we didn't prepare for was live audience feedback coming in through the chat on Facebook.
It wasn't even that big of a deal.
Someone said the F word. That's a big deal to me.
Hey, you know what's interesting is that this time next week, we will actually be on vacation. So after this episode, we're gonna take a vacation. We're going to go on our sales incentive trip for Rhino. And me and TP will be out of the studio. So that's never happened either. But in the studio today, well, not in the studio, on the podcast today, is a dear friend of ours. This guy's listened to every single episode. So
everyone.
So he knows what's up. I want to go ahead and just make a quick introduction to John Mizoraca, the Miz, who is...
What's up, guys?
What's up, brother? So you are now, I found out today, the Vice President of Sales South Division for Jim Air. Is that correct?
Southeast Division, yeah. So you actually found out before my team found out. How about that?
Well, we feel so privileged, brother. Yeah, 7 days. You got 7 days to share. Well, congratulations, man.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Dude, it's been great. When you and I first met, it was you were in Denver.
Yeah.
And you were working at, you're working at that company in Denver.
Yep.
Big player, Denver. And we had a great go. We had a great run, man.
We did. Do you remember who I was with on our first meeting with me, you over at Carrier?
I do.
Yeah. You had him on your show not too long ago.
I did.
Mentor of mine.
Mr. Frank DeMarco. That was a fun run. It was good getting to reminisce with him about that because we came out of the gate and crushed it. My mission was accomplished. Crushed it. That was a lot of fun. But what's great about it is what I like about having been in this industry so long is just all the relationships I've not only had but retained. Because I meet so many people. And so that part is equally as rewarding to me. And then watching people's progressions like through the industry and what they're doing. And we talk about this all the time. Even though the industry is huge, it's actually, kind of small. Everybody knows everybody still, at some level.
It's amazing.
It's been pretty cool. So it's been neat to watch your journey, from you going from there. And I'm not even really sure where you started before that. But and that's something that we'll get into. But before we do it, I want to let you guys know, all the listeners know that my man John Mizoraca has done some things. He's had a great deal of success. And you know what, man? I've heard from people that I've just met who say, hey, you know John Mizoraca? I'm like, well, how the hell did you even know I would know John Mizoraca? I'm talking like random things like this have come up throughout the years, so which is pretty cool, man. So you've had a lot of great success in sales. So if you're in the sales side of things too, John's going to share some great, great stuff. You don't get to the vice president of sales by not being good at selling. I think that there's lots of different tactics that you can use. Some work in the short term, but you can't stretch this long of a sales relationship by doing it wrong. You do it right, and that's important. So I can't wait for John to kind of share some of his tactics and things that he's used along the way. But first, let's get to know the Miz.
Oh, here we go.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so you've heard the podcast, so you understand we ask some of these questions. I'm not going to play Would You Rather on this one, okay? But I will ask just a couple of quick questions to let everybody know. I know that you, you and I have always kind of bust each other's chops. That's the kind of relationship that we have. We have a lot of fun. I know you're a hard worker, but let's find out a little bit of the another side of John Mazarraga. So if you can have dinner with anyone, alive or dead, who would it be?
Yeah, so I would have dinner with my grandparents. You know, unfortunately, my grandparents, 3 out of 4 of them passed away before I was old enough to remember them, right? So there's a lot of questions that I would want to ask them, and I think that would be really cool. You know, I hear a lot from my parents about what kind of people they were, but to actually get to know them and have some time would be awesome.
Yeah, sure. So learn a lot about your family, because they probably know even more, so they go further back.
Yeah, and Paul's met some of my family. He knows my family is a lot like I am. We're a little strange. So to kind of find out where some of that came from would be great.
Good people hail from Rochester, New York. Rochester people know Rochester people. So shout out to the Rochester listeners who will probably reach out.
Is that where you're from, Miz?
Rochester, New York.
That's where you're right. From. Okay. All right. That's upstate. That's different.
Yeah.
That's different. Where I come from is different too. Okay. I was just back in Indiana. This past weekend for my buddy Shane's wedding. Ironically, this guy owns a lift rental company. And when we very first started Rhino, I bartered with him. We were friends. I bartered with him so I could use the front part of his warehouse as my office. There's no way. We were breaking health code violations, HR violations, like everything you can possibly think of. But it was cool to go back home and just see. And I always like going back home and just being humbled on where I come from. So that's always good for like the soul for me.
Absolutely.
Okay. So next, if you could, I went back for a wedding Friday night after the rehearsal dinner was, we went out and all hang out afterwards, and we went to the a bar, it's a bowling alley bar because it's the Midwest,
sure.
And they had karaoke. So I've got a go-to song, but what would your go-to song be to sing karaoke?
Well, I don't know if you've ever heard me sing, Chris. not quite as good as you are. So in honor of the day, my song would be Tequila.
Tequila.
Wow, great answer. Quick on your feet.
Yeah, that would be the only one. I wouldn't have to worry about the words. It would be fantastic.
Yeah, that's actually really good. And all you have to do is just know Tequila. Okay,
that's crowd pleaser.
Damn, that was good. Did you prepare for that? You had that. You had that prepared. I know it.
I have listened to every show. Right.
Fair enough.
I do. I think that's what makes Mizoraka so good at what he does. Man, he's ready and prepared.
Mizoraka, do you have a joke on the top of your head that you could share? So you didn't hear this one on the podcast before?
No, I did not.
Do you have a joke? I'm going to say it again, so it gives you time to think and prepare for it. Do you have a joke that you could share with our listeners that's on the top of your head? If not, I'll throw one at you.
He's got it. I can see it.
Yeah, so I'm happy. You know, we'll keep it PG. So, Paul, guess who told me you talk like an owl?
Who?
That was terrible.
Crushed it. Hey, I thought you were going to tell the joke about the pirate driving. Don't you have a pirate driving joke?
With a steering wheel in his pocket?
Yes.
Yeah, I was driving him nuts.
Oh,
how do you say it again, though?
It's driving me nuts.
Thank you. Appropriate. See what you get, Chris.
Listen, Chris, we can do this for a full hour if you want.
Listeners, I apologize. I know that you tuned in for more than this, and I apologize.
Yeah, you just lost about 50% of your listeners right there.
I know. Damn it. Okay, let's get to the good stuff. Thanks for sharing that with us, Miz. Appreciate that. Those are two solid jokes.
Oh, man. So good.
Jeez, all right.
You want me to try to get it back on track while you gather yourself over there? So we have an unspoken rule on the podcast. I don't even know what we call it, but it's kind of the two strikes rule. And if your name gets brought up more than once on the podcast, we're going to invite you on. So we're honored to have you on today because your name's been brought up by several people as having been an influence in their life. One being Julian Skadden, the CEO of Nexstar, and also Frank DeMarco out at Service Champion. So these are big guys who, when we were asking them, you know, to tell us their journey, your name unsolicited just popped up. It just happens to be that we know you. Now, Chris and I know you and have known you for years, but we know you separately. So I'm going to tell my little Mizoraka story. When I got into the industry, 2008, I worked for Lennox at the time. I was a couple months on the job. I'd visited with all my customers. And one day I thought, you know what? It's time to go meet with some train dealers. I'm going to convert some of these train dealers over to Lennox dealers. So I walked into Nitech Heating and Cooling in Castle Rock, Colorado. And I started a conversation with Dan Reeder there, who still owns and operates that business. But he gave me one piece of advice. He said, if you're anything like John Misuraca, you're going to be successful at this job. And I'd never heard that name before, but I looked you up and we eventually met. And that was, 2008 or 2009. And we've been friends ever since. And yeah. Had the opportunity to work together in a few different ways on the contracting side, where I got to know you. You know, you took a company that was, you know, I forget how much in million in revenue to 20 million in revenue. And it's just been impressive to watch your career unfold. And here you are in the studio. It all comes full circle. So let's jump into it. John, like we like to ask all of our guests, tell us your story. How'd you get into the trades?
Yeah, it was by, I don't know, by luck, I guess, if we can call it that. Some days it might not be, but I was graduating high school. I'll take you back that far in Rochester, New York. I went to Edison Tech Occupational High School. So we learned trades there, which was really cool. So a little shout out to my high school. When it was time to graduate, my friends were either going in the military or going to college, and I had no idea what I wanted to do in my life. So I thought, maybe I'll just go in the military like my friends did. And they were all going to the Marines. So I made a trip down to Parris Island to watch one of them graduate. And within 5 minutes, I absolutely knew my calling was not to be a Marine. I have a ton of respect for those guys. I love them. It's awesome, but I don't like getting punched in the face or doing a lot of physical work, right? Sure. So I went over and I talked to the Air Force guys, and they were glad to bring me on. You know, so I joined the Air Force, and I told them, hey, I just want to go see the world. I want to see the world. I don't care what job you do. If it's with airplanes, that'll be cool. So like, no problem. We'll get you guys hooked up. They sent me to Cheyenne, Wyoming for 8 years. And I learned heating and air conditioning on nuclear missile silos. So I spent all my time underground, in Cheyenne, Wyoming, of all places. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. I'm a firm believer of that. Took me out there. When I got out of the military, I moved down to Fort Collins, which is an amazing town in Colorado. One of my good friends in the Air Force started a heating company down there. So he brought me on to be a service tech. And quickly realize that I am not mechanically inclined. Mm-hmm. I can walk you through how to fix a furnace, but if I have to touch it, I'm going to hurt myself and I'm going to start bleeding. So he saw that I was good with customers, and he really convinced me into going into sales. And I fought it tooth and nail because all I thought it was car salesman. You know, I didn't want to be a car salesman. But he set me up with some classes. The first class I ever took was with a guy named Tom Piscatelli. Do you know Tom?
I do.
Yeah. So I recently just reached out to him to tell him that he really affected my life, you know, pointing it in a direction. He probably didn't remember who I was, right? But I got my first taste of sales and how to do it being a consultative salesperson. And I think that's what the name of his class was, as a matter of fact. So I learned you can go in and ask questions and talk to people and sell stuff that way, you know? So I really got the bug for that and loved it. Worked for my friend in Fort Collins for a while. Then I moved down to Denver, spent some time there where I was fortunate to get more training with a company. They sent me to a bunch of Airtime 500 classes. Paul, I sent you something the other night.
I was
just going through some old paperwork and found some paper. Actually, my friend sent it to me where I was a $1 million sales guy. And that was a big deal back then. We're going way back. If you can sell $1 million, you're considered first class, I guess. Now you'd be looking to keep a job, right? But
who else was on that list though? Because there were some names on there. This was 1990, what?
Yeah, I'd have to go back.
Doesn't matter, it was a long time ago. But there were some names on there that are big players today. So who else?
There were some pretty big names that I was shocked because I obviously didn't know them back then. But now, again, just happens to be where I'm at. There were some local guys that were on there that I really look up to.
Yeah, Jonathan Bancroft, Morris Jenkins, you're too humble to mention it, but. Yeah. I mean, here's Misuraca just outperforming some of the bigger names, bigger players today.
That's cool.
I would definitely not say outperforming. We shared some space.
There you go. Humble.
Yeah. But it's fantastic stuff, you know. So I did that job and I really loved it. And one of the things that now reflecting back on me back then is I would get bored easily. I didn't know that, right? So I would do sales, I'd get bored, and I saw this territory manager that came over. I used to take us golfing and out to lunch and stuff. And I thought, man, what an amazing job that guy has. I want to do that.
Yep.
So I spent some time on the distribution side and learned that, fell in love with that for a little while until I learned, you know, enough there. And I was like, man, I can take what I learned here, put it back on the other side, on the contractor side, and do even better.
Yep.
So I did that. went back and I ended up at Kaufman, which was a great company in Denver. Spent some time there.
They're a customer of ours.
Yeah.
Kaufman is?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Great people. Pat Quinlan was the owner there at the time and really took care of me, made sure I got all the training that I needed and put a lot of effort into me, which was fantastic. And I actually met Julian there. Julian worked there at the same time.
Julian worked at Kaufman.
We're all connected.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So when we talk about a small world,
wow,
everybody seems to have gone through Denver at some point.
Yeah, that's true.
But yes, yeah, so I spent time there and then, you know, back to the distribution side for a while. And then ended up at Cooper. Great people.
Yep.
Absolutely love that time there. Learned probably the most I've ever learned.
Where we met.
Yep, that's right. Where we met there. I got to meet Frank, Gary, and Rosalie Cooper. Fantastic people. So it was a great ride. And then, gosh, I guess it was about 5 years ago. You know, I had a great job, making more money than I ever thought I would make. Living in a great city. And one day driving home, you know, they legalized marijuana there. And it got super crowded. It took me about an hour and a half to get home on a normal 45-minute drive. And for some reason, I just went home and told my girlfriend, let's pack up and move to North Carolina. And we did that within 3 months and ended up out there. And then I got
to work
with my good friend Paul out there for a while.
Wait, yeah. Say that part again?
Well, working with my good friend Paul.
That's right.
That's right. Yep. What? Paul took me under his wing, taught me how to be a good TM. And we had a blast. And then he quit me, Chris.
That's it. Yep.
Most disappointing day of my life. I came back and said, I'm going to work with Chris.
Man.
Sorry, not sorry.
What a journey. And so now you're on the East Coast. You've settled in. You're now in a leadership role working for a big Watsco company. What are you doing now?
Yeah, so now I've been a regional manager. And as of today, I was promoted to VP of Sales of the Southeast, which is fantastic. Love that. But we're out, you know, trying to be the best distributor that we can be. And we do that, you know, by, I think what we're going to talk about a lot today is helping people improve their salespeople. You know, that's one of our big focuses, is customer service, making sure we have a product, all that, but really helping and getting out in front of our customers and helping them be better businesses, right? Meaning they're selling better product, they're closing more, they're doing what they need to do to be successful. And then that in turn helps us be successful.
Sure.
So we've had a lot of luck with that game plan over the last 3 years here.
So let's thanks for sharing. And I think it's pretty cool that how this whole thing has played out. I mean, the fact that you're on here is cool. I mean, you're our buddy, but we've also done a lot of business together, like in different, but in different facets, which is so cool. And it's actually super indicative of how this industry really is too.
It really is.
But let's look back, because I, what I'm always interested is you've taken on many roles, similar, but many different roles. What was the most fulfilling one to you? Like, what is the one that is like, you're like, you know what, this is the one that felt the best for me? Or is that now?
I think, you know, I get enjoyment and fulfillment out of all of them. I'm really enjoying my time right now in this role. But if I had to pick a number one, it would be my time with Cooper Heating and Cooling. You know, we went in there and I learned so much in that time frame that I was there, and we did so many things. And we did, you know, it was 2008 that I started there. Most companies were not growing, right? They were going the other way. And we just happened to take off, and we found a formula that worked, and we were hiring, we were growing. And
you found the digital partner that worked.
What's that?
You found a digital marketing partner that worked.
We found a digital marketing company that really helped us. That's right. It was fantastic. You know, so to me, if I'm learning and growing and kicking ass, right, then I'm happy. That's the happiest I can be. And I would, you know, tell anybody all the time, I'd get up. I'd be the first one in there, 6 o'clock every morning. I'd be the last one home. Sometimes I wouldn't get home until 9:30 at night. And it wasn't because anybody told me I had to. It's because I loved it. I love growing. I love building this team, and it was just great stuff. So that job will always have a special spot in my heart for sure.
Yep. And that's when I got to know you the best, and he's not lying. He would be the first one in, the last one out. And it was quite the ride you had there. So one of the main theme we want to go over today is really to talk about the concept of salespeople, how to make salespeople better. But I want to talk a little bit, we're going to kind of be all over the place here, because I want to talk about your success with big box retail, because that's an area, if I look back on your career, like you really, really stood out during a period of time for taking retail programs and, you know, making them perform 10 times better than the competitors, not just like better improvement over time, but dominating. So tell me about your experience in working with, I think you've probably worked with Lowe's, with Home Depot, with Costco. What worked for you and how did you get your team to outperform everyone?
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp's deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, Housecall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. Capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
Yeah, great question. Look, there was no magic bullet for that, really. It was communication. I was working with the stores, and you know, Costco was a big one for us. We got out there, and they had the lead generator positions, right? Well, I don't even know if they really had the positions available. We had a kiosk in there, right, and we were hoping people would walk by and see that kiosk and set up a lead. But we decided to put some lead generators in there and train them to really go out and market themselves to customers as they walk by. They did a really good job at that. And that definitely boosted our sales. But what really helped out was the relationship with the store managers, right? They always looked at us as this kind of pain in the ass deal that was in the store, in their way. They knew they could sell toilet paper off a pallet space there and make X amount of dollars. They didn't know what we could bring in because we never had air conditioners moving through carts. You know what I mean? And nobody ever went through a register and said, I'm buying this $10,000 system or $15,000 system. So we just started communicating with them really well. We go in and have meetings with them and say, do you realize we sold X amount of dollars this month? And here's a big fake check to show you what we did for you guys. And all of a sudden they would perk up and say, what do you guys need from us? Right?
Right.
You are now making more money than toilet paper and cigarettes and this and that. So what do you need? Do you need a kiosk up front? Do you need a all week roadshow? So that really helped a lot. And getting one manager on, a guy named Chris, he worked in the Highlands Ranch store in Colorado, was a fantastic help for us. Because once we did it with him and started making things work, everybody else wanted to know why his store was doing so well.
Hey, was that guy a wrestler?
No.
Okay, so I'm not thinking, maybe I'm thinking about somebody else, but he was a sales guy you guys had. I can't remember the dude's name. Anyway, sorry to derail you. But I remember having a conversation with some guy who was just like a beast, and I don't remember who it was.
Was his name John Mizoraka?
Well, that was another beast. It was maybe somebody you created. That guy was a beast, but we just called
him. Chris, I don't know if I ever shared with you. I wrestled for 3 years in high school.
Did you really?
Yeah. I was the tallest, skinniest guy. I wrestled at 135, and I was about 6'2".
Yeah, I wrestled.
Just get folded.
I looked like Paul Redman.
I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry to derail you, man. Keep going. You're crushing it.
No, so that was, you know, great. So we learned that and we did really, really well with it. So we had tons of lead generators working for us. It was constantly, you know, we had to hire a lead generator supervisor to get them scheduled to make sure we were filling the stores up, because pretty soon the stores were like, why don't you have a lead generator in here? This guy needs to be in here, you know, and they were starting to demand that, which was a cool thing. But it was also, you know, work. So we had to make sure we're filling that out. And then we just took that and reproduced it in Home Depot for a while. We went after a couple of Ace hardware stores, made that work for a little bit. And the program just really worked well. And Paul, I remember, you know, at the time we had people from out of state funneling through to come ask us what we're doing and do little tours and check it out. And we had no problem sharing that, especially with the people in town, because we knew most of them wouldn't put the work in to get it done. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember having like, you know, semi-annual summits where we would have to rent out a hotel room or a hotel, like, you know, conference room, and 20 contractors would come in to figure out what you were doing to make these programs outperform all the other ones. So yeah. If you were to become a contractor tomorrow, what would your approach with retail be? Would you get in? Would you, is there a particular program you'd be a part of? I mean, it's kind of a tough question.
Well, what would the balance be?
Yeah.
That's the question right there. Right. So knowing what I know now, right. It'd be a struggle. I might get in for a little bit. The costs on those were high. They are high, but for good reason. They've got stuff to do too, right? Everybody's got to make some money on that.
Right.
And I made a fortune in that program, so I can't knock it. But if I were to start a heating company tomorrow, I'd probably steer clear and put all my money into Rhino. How about that?
Organic is what I say. Yeah.
Yeah. You're saying there's more upside if you do it right outside of the programs that you wouldn't even miss the retail programs.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a strong believer of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Yeah. Well, let's transition a little bit, Chris. Sorry. I took
it's okay. I'm glad I teased that out. You went exactly down the path I was hoping you'd go with, because I love the retail versus organic.
Totally. Yeah, totally. I want to talk about, you know, comfort advisors, project managers, retail salespeople, whatever you call them, selling technicians. Everyone listening to this call might call that person that goes into the home to engage with the homeowner something different. Whatever you want to call them, who and what are some of the best characteristics? Who's the best at the craft, and what sets them apart?
Yeah. Hey, great question, Paul, but I need to back up a little bit. In all seriousness, you know, we struggled with the retail stores, yeah. Right? We had about 95% of our business came through the retail stores, and we knew any day that could get pulled away. Right. And so this big beast that we were growing could have just disappeared overnight. It was not a healthy mix. And Chris, that is when we approached you and got a hold of you, right? Is we had a serious problem. We knew we needed to organically create leads for ourselves. And when you say you guys slayed it earlier, you know, you absolutely did do that. We went from 95% retail leads. I think we ended up at 35% organically grown through you guys in a matter of no time. Yeah. Right. So it was a great program. What we did together worked really, really well.
That was
we
so
never
fun.
Wanted to turn that retail off, but we also had to be very careful of it.
Yeah. And it's different, right? Like the approach is different. So it's not like you can just be huge retail or huge new construction and just open up add-on replacement service. And like there's a whole nother process to it. And sales aren't equal between the two. So I think I'm interested for you to keep going down this path, because I always love hearing what different great salesmen in this industry, what they think are the right characteristics, and then trying to see which have been similar. Cause we've had a few on here that have done that. We have Brent Buckley on, who's like 7 million. Brent crushes it. And I think I probably more align with his style than anybody's, but so let's keep going down that path.
Yeah, let's do that. So, you know, characteristics, I know a lot of great salespeople, and I don't know that there's a ton of consistency into what makes them great, right? Except for maybe one or two things. And one is a drive to want to win and do well, right? I think that's what really makes a good salesperson, is that drive. But I've seen guys that I would think had no personality that would walk in, and I'm like, there's no way this guy's going to cut it. And they turn out to be fantastic. And then there's guys with great personalities that can really connect with customers that do well also, you know? So it's across the board, but I think it's that person that you want to find that's super competitive, that wants to do something, right? I remember my old boss back in Colorado, we'd argue about this all the time. He's like, you have to hire people that know heating and air conditioning. They're the only ones that are going to be good salespeople. And I fought him tooth and nail. And I said, no way. Like, I'd rather bring in somebody that approached me, and maybe it was a shoe salesman at the mall that I thought was an amazingly outgoing person and did a really good job, and teach them heating and air. That was way easier than teaching a guy that knows heating and air how to have a personality.
I'm a fan of that.
Yeah. And it worked really, really well. We added, gosh, I think at one point we're somewhere between 15 and 20, you know, comfort advisors. And we had to find these people somewhere. We had roof salespeople, car salespeople. We had people from all different walks of life that came in, and we just taught them a good process and held them accountable, and they became successful, you know, and ended up passing guys that had been doing it for 15 to 20 years their way, you know.
And sold super high efficiency, two-stage variable speed equipment all the time.
That's right.
So, can I just throw out my two cents on this, since it's, you know, technically I'm the host, so I guess I have an opinion I can share. You actually said two things that that we can actually apply to our business as well. And it is, you talked about the guy who has a great personality who can essentially go, when you put him in a room with 10 people, he comes out with 9 friends or gal.
Yep.
And then there's also the person who's maybe more on the technical side, that maybe their personality isn't there, but they can walk you through the technical process. And that is essentially selling it's sales by education. We have that in this, in this model too, where I'll use a perfect example. Anna's our COO. Early in the business, it was her and I, because we were co-founders. And the way that she doesn't want to, more of an introvert, doesn't want to be out there, but she knows the process so well and is so genuine that she could, when she worked with our manufacturers, she could sell them easily because she wasn't selling them. She was educating them about what our processes are and what we've become, and thus earning trust. And then they would move forward with this because they knew the facts of what was about to go down. Whereas somebody who's got a good personality can kind of go in, and essentially you're selling yourself at that point. And it's like, how's your personality? Can you connect with people? But then it comes down to, how genuine are you being? Like, if you're passionate about it and your passion is about genuinely helping them create comfort or create whatever it is, it's hard to fake that piece of it.
That's right.
So if you can find somebody who's got both of those things, I feel like that's like the unicorn.
Yeah.
And
you're absolutely right. It's in the caring and asking the right questions.
Right.
When I was listening to Buckley, what did he have him on a couple months ago?
Mm-hmm.
I listened to that a couple times because I wanted to get I wouldn't get my car, but I want to fly out and visit him and be like, dude, let me ride with you. Even though I'm not doing this anymore, I have to see what you're doing.
Same.
So I listened to him a couple times because I was just fascinated by that. Because he said a couple things that I agree with 100% and then a couple that I didn't. And I had to think, was one of us right or wrong? No, whatever's working works, right? So some of the stuff I agreed with him is showing empathy, caring about the customer, designing the system around the customer, all super, super important things. And your customer knows when you're doing that, right? They know that you care. They know that you're asking questions and listening and designing around them. All super important stuff. One of the comments he made, though, was, hey, look, I close every single time. And I'm fascinated by that, right? He's like, I have a 95% closing rate. I was the opposite. I was like the sales grenade. I would do my presentation. I would kick ass at it. I would make sure the customer appreciated it. Ask the right questions, handle objections. And then most of the time I got the call back. Right. And so he's like, man, nobody's ever going to call you back.
Well, now
he called me back. I got, one time closes too, but not many at all. Right. So.
Well, now we know who drove up the episode count on Buckley's episode. It was John Mizrahi. Yeah, yeah. I literally just
listening and listening. Yeah. So I mean, kudos to him for what he's doing. That is absolutely amazing. And for a second, I do want to quit my job and go back and see if I can do it.
I literally just texted him and asked him if I can come do a ride along with him. I only said for an appointment or two, because that guy will go run like 10 appointments in one day. I ain't doing that.
Yeah.
But I just texted him to see if he responds back to me.
Yeah. But the big thing I got away from him was caring for the customer and his drive. You can't teach drive, right? That's where when you're interviewing customers or you're coaching them, how do you make sure that person has that drive? Right? How do you figure that out during an interview to see if you even want to move forward with them? But drive is so, so important.
Paul, I'm excited for you to ask this next question.
Oh, yeah. So thank you. I thought you were going to take it. I'm glad I get to. So I once heard a story of a comfort advisor who called you on a Friday night and said, John, you changed my life. What was he referring to and why did you have such an impact on him?
So I remember that pretty vividly. That was a standout moment for me. So this guy was here in the Carolinas, and his boss asked if I would ride along with him. If I remember 100%, the performance wasn't like super great. And he was like, I want to see if you can tweak or adjust anything. This is one of those guys with a great personality, just outstanding guy. You would want to sit and talk to him all the time. We actually still communicate quite a bit. I did some ride-alongs with him. He's just missing the process. You know what I mean? He had the technical background. He was out there. He was just missing stuff, like asking the right questions and repeating back to the customer what they said so that they knew he was listening and preparing. He needed to slow down. That was it. And so we did a couple ride-alongs, coached him and told him those things. And I said, try that and see what happens. And he did. And he started doing fantastic, started closing all these jobs. And I'm sure there's way more into it, right? He had to put a lot of work into that too. But he started doing stuff and kept his job, right? His boss was happy. He was making money that he wasn't making before. And he's just really excited about it, you know? And so when he called and said that, that was really cool. It was a cool moment for me.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. So that's like, that's the stuff I love is when I'm able to impact somebody's life or this company or our employees or even their own, whatever it is, like that's the cool stuff. Like that's real life stuff. Yeah. So, thanks for sharing that story. I wish I knew who it was. Do I know this person?
I don't think so.
No.
Okay. I don't have to say their
double
name.
B.
Okay. So I don't, you have to tell me, off air, but, so let's go into this. So, this is a perfect segue. How would you take an average in-home salesperson and make them like the Miz? Like what do you do to try and take that average person? Cause are you seeing like some similarities and like, hey, this is typically one of two or one of three issues that they're experiencing. Like, what do you do? What's the Miz process?
Yeah. So even today, I still like to do ride-alongs. It's one of the first things I offer. I just love doing that, you know, going out and coaching and doing ride-alongs and doing classes and just talking about heating, air conditioning sales in general. Man, the biggest thing I see when I go out and do ride-alongs is the basics, right? We forget to ask for the sale. We don't handle objections. We get out there and we predetermine what the customer needs before we even ask them any questions. You know, they go straight into the furnace, they give them a quote, and then they leave. You know, it's crazy how many people do that too. Going back to, you know, what Brent said, like, look, you got to take the time to spend with a customer and get to know them. What do they like about their house now? What do they not like about their house? How are they heating? What are their expectations? Are we doing heat load calculations? You know, are we doing duct design? He hit it right on the head with duct design. Once you find out what all these customer pains are, right? Determine what the pains are, then you can solve those pains most of the time with equipment, a lot of times with ductwork. It makes a sale way, way easier. So I'm always a big fan of the consultation, right? Let's figure out what the ailments are, prescribe what the cure is, and let the customer pick what they want to do. You know, find something in the budget. And it's easy when you get to do that.
Do you roll in like you know you're going to have these standard objections, and instead of waiting for the objection, you just rolled into the actual sales, like the pitch, if you will?
Absolutely. And I would guess it's probably some of the old Airtime 500 training from back in the day that always sticks. You know, you got the five big objections and you try to handle those through the call. So you don't wait to the end. You handle them through the call. So when at the end, there are no objections. It's either a yes or no at that point. Right?
So another thing too is, that makes sense to me. Really, in I think any business model is if once you start to understand what the same objections are over and over and over again, you go ahead and solve them by just talking through it. Because that way you don't get through this whole process, and that certainly will help your close ratio. Because then by the time you get there, you've already covered those objections, so your odds are greater. But another thing is. And I say this because we just recently purchased a new office for Rhino for our expanding team. And one thing I was asking you about is zone systems, because I love zones. Once I had a zone system once, I don't think you ever get away from it.
That's right.
But what people also do, or I think, at least from my perspective, is homeowners don't know everything that's available. And you're not oversharing, you're not overselling if they don't know, they can't buy anything if they don't know it's an option. And so I think... Also, I've realized people assume that maybe a homeowner already knows about it, so they just don't bring it up. Is that something that you see on upsells or different, like IAQ, another example of something that's come up obviously more recently, but in the past maybe wasn't something that was brought up as much?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the biggest hurdles in our industry in sales for sure is complacency, right? So as comfort advisors, we get complacent. Man, this is my third call today. It's a Friday. I've been doing this all week. I'm just going to burn through this one, right?
Yep.
And they don't take the time. If you can fight that, you're going to be, you know, a big achiever getting stuff done.
Complacency will cripple you. You cannot let that happen.
Without a doubt. And then just being on the distributor side, man, 80% of our customers out there just want to do it the way they've always done it. They don't want to get out there and learn anything new, right? And the ones that do are the ones that are going to excel and take off and get out there and offer high efficiency, offer inverter technology, offer IAQ. When COVID first started, we couldn't keep IAQ on the shelves, right? We just couldn't. We were, anything we had, we sold. Here it is. COVID's still a number one conversation out there, right? But as an industry, I see we're getting complacent again, and we're not talking about IAQ like we were the first couple months.
Got it.
So now Nobody, you know, we're not selling it nearly as much as we did a year ago. Is it because everybody has it? Absolutely not, right? We just stopped talking about it again. So who knows? You know, we gotta stay out in front of people. As a sales manager, you know, in any company, you just have to stay in front of your people and make sure they're talking about those things and coach the processes and make sure you're managing, right?
Yep. Let's talk a little bit about coaching. You referenced Airtime 500. You've done Piscatelli. You've done trained boot camps. You've done it all. And I know that I've been around you long enough to know you kind of have your own, I guess, process and package. But what has changed in the training space and how do you coach the modern era salesperson?
Yeah, there has been a lot that's changed. You know, just follow up, you know, is a big one. We'll answer your question a little more, but follow up makes me think about the changing. People want to text nowadays, right? Back when I was doing sales and really going at it, texting wasn't really an option, right? Mm-hmm. It was callbacks and you never got the customer. Millennials want to be texted. They want all this other cool stuff. So it's, you know, staying current with all that stuff is really important. But coaching today's people is you have to find, you know, going back to Cooper when we had so many salespeople there, right? You can't coach everybody the same. You just can't. You have to find out what drives these people. But they all have the same, they have to have the same process when you get that many salespeople working for you. You can't have everybody out being a gunslinger doing their own thing. Right. You'll never be able to manage that. So being able to find out what drives people, is it money? Is it fame? Is it just helping people? You gotta find out what that is and really coach towards that and find out what these people want to do. You'd be surprised how many people out there are just okay with being okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't want to make any more money than I'm making now. I'm totally fine.
Yep.
They're not bad people to have on your team.
Nope.
But they're not people that you're gonna be able to push into being your champions, you know?
Yep, they're workers.
Yep. What are the fundamentals of the perfect sales call? If you could go back and run a sales call right now, what are the fundamental building blocks of that call?
Yeah, I would make sure I had enough time, right? I still see today a lot of our customers are giving their guys a small amount of time to go out and run a call. They want to do a bunch of calls during the day and they expect big results. 2, maybe 3 calls a day is all I would recommend, right? Wow. Maybe 3 calls. Give them the time to get out there, educate the customer, ask the right questions. Make sure they're equipped to answer all the questions. Make sure they present a good option, right? Good options. I recommend 3 to 4 options out there. And then make sure, for God's sake, that they're asking for the sale. You know, circling back to what we talked about earlier, even today, it boggles my mind how many people just leave the proposal and then they leave and hope they get a call later.
Yep.
Crazy.
Who's the best at sales that you've come across?
Okay, shout out time for Uncle Joe.
There you go.
Uncle Joe.
Yeah, so I've been a lot of trainings.
Charging him.
Yeah, he's fantastic. I remember I was trying to find somebody that can train our service techs. And so I wanted to go out and take the class and learn. And so I paid my own money and went out to California and spent time with Joe. And it was worth every single penny going out there to see him.
Good old Uncle Joe. He's been on here.
So what is it about Uncle Joe that makes him the best?
Yeah, he's not a high pressure sales guy, right? I would say my takeaway from there was less is more, right? Usually somebody gives a salesperson an objection. They just want to start throwing up, here's the answer. Joe doesn't do that, right? Hey, I understand that's a concern.
So what should we do?
What should we do?
That's
so it's magic. It's magic.
So what should we do?
Yeah. Uncle, he's great.
Yeah.
Chris, you want to take this next one? This is a big question.
Yeah. So I mean, actually, as I read through this question, I actually have I've worked through some of these experiences as well.
Sure.
So you had experience with multiple brands. Obviously, that's how kind of what brought you and I together in Denver at Cooper's was essentially one manufacturer trying to help you pivot to another. And I was that dangling, the carrot they dangled in front of you to help, you know, entice you to come over and it all worked out. So I'm grateful it did, but you have worked with multiple brands over the years. And mostly on the contracting side, I think is correct. But, what role does brand like truly play in high performing salespeople? I have my opinion. I'll keep it to myself for now, but what role does brand really play in high performing salespeople in how do you leverage the brand, or does it even matter? Like,
yeah. So I always piss somebody off when I say this.
I know.
Brand doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
Unless it's Ream, which I sell now, then it's extremely important.
Disclaimer.
Shout out to Mike Branson.
Brand doesn't matter, right? It's support, right? And that's the leverage I think that needs to be talked about is, what is your distributor doing for you? Are they there so you can help them, or are they there to help you, right? And that's the big thing you have to ask yourself and ask them, right? How are they partnering with you to grow your business and help your salespeople and to be a better business, you know? So all the brands I think are fantastic now. If they weren't, they wouldn't be out there. They wouldn't be working, right? They're all good. And it's how you get supported that really is what you need to look at.
What would that conversation look like in the home, right? When the homeowner looks at you and says, well, I've heard about this brand. I'm just curious why, you know, you're choosing private label, or maybe I've never heard of that piece of equipment. Role play with me a little bit and describe to me how you would communicate with a homeowner who's really concerned around brand.
Yeah, great question. So back in the day when we did that Airtime 500 training, brand objection training was something that we worked on. If I do classes now with objection handling with our customers, I'll ask them, how often are you getting brand objections? And it seems like it's gone away, right? We'll still get some people that say, well, man, my dad worked for so-and-so, and so I want that. Yeah. But everything that we do in the process, right? Doing a heat load calculation, designing the ductwork, taking a look at their existing ductwork, finding out what their needs are. I would say to a customer, look, you want the best system that works for you and your family, right? You want us to design something that works best for you? Well, this is why I chose this product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
And if something were to go wrong with this unit, the distributor we're buying from will take the greater likelihood that they would take care of it in the right way.
Yeah, it goes back to the support. If you're truly getting support from your distributor, they're taking care of you. This is how we get, you know, support from our guys, and you're ultimately going to get taken care of regardless of what happens. Yeah,
Got it. So, John, there's people listening to this from all over the country. You've worked all over the country. What's different from coast to coast, region to region, or is it all the same?
It's not the same. I learned out what a package unit is when I moved out to North Carolina.
I think I remember that. Same here, man.
Yeah. I learned heat pumps are a big to-do out here compared to where we were at. When I moved out here, I planned on taking 6 months off and just trying to refine myself, a midlife crisis or something. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I thought maybe I'll get back into residential sales, and then I saw that, you know, here the upside was there's two systems in almost every home, right? Mm-hmm. One in the attic, one in the basement usually, or one in the crawl space. And then I found out about the bugs and the snakes and the heat. I said, well, I definitely don't want to be a residential sales guy anymore out here. That's too hot.
If I remember, you were like, I'm not putting my 6'6" frame through a crawl space.
Yeah. Yeah. And not with the snakes that I've seen around here. No, thanks.
You're probably 6'3" now.
Yeah, I'm shrinking, but there's a lot of similarities, but then there's some big differences too. You know, like flex duct out here, you couldn't use flex duct really in Colorado. Everything was hard pipe. Yeah. They don't know what hard pipe is here. Water heaters in the attic. I've never seen that before until I got out here. So definitely some big differences.
Got it. I know we've used quite a bit of time here. We could talk so much about just the different experiences you've had. One of the things that I've found interesting about you, John, is everyone who's met you, like, you've left a lasting impression on. No one's not sure if they've ever met John Mazaraka, cool. Right? Even my kids, my kids love you. You were at my oldest daughter's second birthday, like 10 years ago. It's crazy to think about how long we've been friends. But when you look back over your career, what do you want your legacy to be?
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Love this question.
Paul, I think I want people to think of me as, you know, a guy that kept pushing and did really well while having a good time. I could say, you know, this, I'm very fortunate. I think you guys would agree in this industry that we've met a lot of great people. We experienced a lot of great things. We're able to have the small, big community that we're in, right? And we can have a really good time doing it. I wake up in the morning excited to go to work. I don't think it is a job. It's fun. Get to meet people every day and talk about stuff that we have passion about doing and we make good livings at. What more could you ask for?
I love it. I think that, I'm grateful that you came on. It's always fun to go down memory lane. And it's also interesting to think, like, if, man, I'm so glad we didn't suck, because then this would, relationship would have never really flourished and went this far. If you think about it, like, all it is like, one thing could change it, that changes everything. But we're here. You got to be on the podcast. The fact you listen to every podcast, I say this, man, and I know we usually bust each other's balls, but I'm extremely thankful and grateful that you take that time and do that. That means a lot to me. It's the whole reason we put this thing on. And you know our heart, like, behind all the jokes and stuff like that, you know we legit have a heart to help serve the trades, whether you're a customer or not. That's the whole reason we're doing this podcast, too, is to help all those that we can't as well. So.
Let me say something real quick, Chris, because that is the reason I listen every week, is not because I'm friends with you guys, right? Although that helps, but to stay motivated and to stay on the front edge and to stay like pumped up all the time, man, I get that from you guys, listening to your people that come on, your guests. Like, I get fired up 95% of the time and I want to go out and do more and push my team, you know? So I look forward to I listen on Wednesday mornings when I'm driving up to our Winston-Salem office. I have that time. I like to turn that on, and that's my weekly schedule. So I appreciate what you guys are doing. It's really helpful for me.
Well, you hit on a key thing. One, I can always tell when you get fired up, because you usually shoot me a text message on the episode, which I love, by the way. So keep doing that. But we talked about complacency earlier. You cannot be complacent. So this is just another tool to help you not be complacent. It is supposed to make you better, whether you're in sales, you're in management, you're in whatever, in the trades. So what I have learned, though, Paul, is that the name of this podcast is To The Point. We started off really getting to the point much faster than we do these days. Now it takes us a little longer to get there, but I believe that the story of the guest matters to give it more context, so you can understand from their perspective, because not everything works for the same for everyone. And like Ms. was saying, coast to coast, it's not apples to apples. So you got it, like, just, you know, like in sales guys, everything, you can't use the same, maybe the same process, 80% of it works, but it doesn't, not 100% of it works. You still got to take it, make it your own, but you can't be complacent. You always have to be getting better. We live in that world. Like, we're in a technology, like, I'm so grateful we stuck to the trades nearly 14 years ago. We've only really had to chase the technology. It's because that alone is difficult, but we can't get complacent. And now people rely on us. So, and people rely on you. And I think why you've been so successful, kind of looking back at your history, is it comes down to, which this is the core value of Rhino, you genuinely care. You genuinely care about helping people. And that's the reward for you, is you get to feel good about it. I mean, that's what happens, is now you're growing other people. You make a great living, but you earned it because you genuinely care to help. And that is a key ingredient to success, no matter who's listening to this thing. And if you think that I say that too much, I'm sorry. It is a fact that if that comes through, and if you don't fake it, and you know, you're passionate about what you do, man, God, if you're going to work, have fun with it. If it's too much work, make a change, do something different. I can't stress that enough. So I want to end with this real quick, but I want to make sure if you're open to it, Ms., that we can share your contact info for somebody to reach out to you. I'm sure you could probably be okay with that. Let's do that first, and then I'll go ahead and finish with my review that I want to read. So what's your contact info that if somebody listening wants to reach out to you?
Yeah. So my email address is johnjohn.misuraca, MISURACA at gemair.com. Phone number 720-252-2901. Call anytime. Love it.
Damn. Ride along time. And you will fly out and ride along with someone.
Without a doubt.
100%. That's fantastic. Big commitment.
I love it. Love it.
A big commitment. John will use his vacation time to fly out of his region to come ride along with your salesperson to make them better.
Dude, this
and Paul's
is
paying for that plane ticket, so let's do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Do not use your Rhino Amex. I'm kidding. I'm in. Okay, hey, so listen, appreciate you so much coming on here, dude. And again, thanks for listening and always chiming in. I appreciate your friendship. And again, I think that we have a lot of similarities, and that's why it makes this friendship work so well. So thank you for that.
No, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep, you are welcome. And keep kicking ass, man. I can't wait to see what's next for you, too. So I want to share a review. Like we've been doing on the end of our podcast. And if you haven't left a review, we've been getting a ton lately. Producer Kyle, you notice that, which is pretty awesome to see them coming in at more frequency. That's, again, like the most rewarding thing for us. It lets us know what we do matters and matters to you. If it matters to you, it matters to us. So keep leaving reviews. If you don't know how to do it, you can, when you open up our podcast, you scroll all the way to the bottom and it says, you know, you can write a review and you can leave it that way. If you don't know, just reach out to us and ask. But regardless, I love seeing those things. I know so does TP. So I will share this podcast for 5 stars. It says the podcast that really gets to the point. Does it? Does it really get to the... Wait, when was this one posted? Okay, no. So this is from Olivia Noel 31. Olivia Noel 31 says, these guys are not only full of so much positive energy, but they are so knowledgeable in the home services, HVAC, and digital marketing industries. I learn something new every time I listen. Highly recommend. Olivia, we appreciate Love you. It. Thanks for sharing that. My guess is her middle name is Noel, and she was 31 when she created that, you think? Because you don't change the name.
You never know. What was your username on AOL, Chris? Your first username?
I can't share that with you. Oh. I'm kidding.
Mine was Dunk on You, letter U, 52.
Dunk on You. Oh my gosh, I don't know, man. That's too long ago. I guarantee there's some people on here listening that haven't even heard of AOL. Yeah. What do you think? Okay, listen. Huh. We actually might have kept this under an hour. Is that right, Kyle? We did? Just barely, though. So, hey, Miz, appreciate you so much. Tall Paul, thank you so much for writing down some super thoughtful questions. I'm glad we got to reminisce and share. And then our listeners, please listen. Don't get complacent. The Miz is willing to fly in, and he's willing to take middle-of-the-night text messages from you since you shared his cell phone. So he's willing to help you out. So utilize it.
True.
Because if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Until next time, we'll see you. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a Rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review. And be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you.